Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro Raised Bed Soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Yes to the Exy Beasts. Thank you for choosing to spend time with a retro episode of Press X to continue. Now, this is the place where we relive the first iteration of your favourite games podcast by bringing you some of the original episodes to new platforms for the first time ever. Now, this time, we're heading back to December 2020. An England footballer, at the time he was a Spurs player, Dele Alli. He was with us to talk about Fortnite, FIFA and competitive gaming. Plus we had Gav Murphy from RKG and Shay Thompson on reviewing Sea of Thieves and Super Smash Bros.
Player two of this episode, we've got Shay. Hello Shay, what are you bringing to the podcast this week?
I'm bringing some fighting games, as per. I'll be really surprised considering my first Hall of Game entry was... Street Fighter. It's no surprise.
Wait. You just did the finger thing.
Game.
She's not on board with the name.
I'm not on board. I'm so sorry, Steph. It's just... it's not good, but you tried, and that's the most important thing.
Hang about. I'm not having this. H last week, rapper, number one hits, right? He said, I've got bars for coming up with that name.
Oh,
his
wow.
Words, not mine. His words, not mine.
Okay, well, I can't really agree with that, but I mean, it's just, I mean, like I said, you tried, and that's the most important thing, you know?
Hey, the disrespect. Dele Alli, as you'll hear, loved it.
Okay, that's two for two. Fine. But you know? I feel like Inel and Gav are backing me up on this.
Whoa, don't bring me into this. I'm an impartial advisor.
Anyway, I am bringing Smash Bros. Ultimate today is what I'm going to be recommending and getting people to try out. It's a very good game.
Okay, Super Smash Bros. Maybe that's what we'll have to do. We'll have to have a fight to the death on Super Smash
to
Bros.
Decide
to see if the
this
name stays.
For once and for all. Yes, please.
Yeah. Smash Bros. We'll do tournament. I'm down.
Oh, yes.
I've said this before. We need to start up a Press X to continue team. We need to do it. People are they're scared already. A couple people tweeted me on Twitter saying, yo, I just want my shot at Inel. He talks to talking on the podcast. I want to get to it. See, they're ready. They want us. We got bounties on our heads.
Okay, well, let's start training. Let's see if this game's any good to start with. And then and then we get training. Gav, what have you got? I mean... Firstly, I'd like to say thank you very much for being supportive of the Hall of Game name. That's very appreciated. I appreciate that quite a lot.
Well, who knows where I stand on that?
Yeah, supportive is a strong word.
Gav's a shadow supporter.
Now, you've got a game this week, because we've done lots of new releases recently. Mm. We did the new Call of Duty, the new Assassin's Creed. We're sort of looking at games that have been around for a bit, but have still got a big following, something that people should try out, Super Smash obviously being one. And you've got... Well, a really interesting game for us that I'm not sure where I sit on.
Well, I've got Sea of Thieves because I came, despite looking like a cartoon pirate that a child has drawn, I should be into Sea of Thieves, but I came to it really, really late, and I only just got into it in the last few weeks. And I know it's a bit of an old game now, and it's been out a few years, but as a developing game and things they're adding to, I'm bang into it. I've been really surprised by how much I've been bewitched by the pirate life. It's good, man. It's good.
What's your pirate name?
This is the thing that we kind of go into it in a bit. That this one of the bad things about Sea of Thieves is you can't really get attached to your pirates. I couldn't tell you one name of any of the pirates that I've played so far because they're all dead.
Well, we're going to get into Sea of Thieves, Gav's pirate name, and we're going to be talking Super Smash Brothers in a bit. But first, Dele Alli, A, fan of the podcast, B, fan of the name Hall of Game, and C, England and Spurs midfielder and Fortnite extraordinaire. He's been chatting to us about his favourite games, who he plays with, and also why he's hooking up with a British esports team called Excel.
When I first started playing Mario Kart, like I'd just spend hours just trying to get a quicker time, and then my friends and that was over would always just like compete and try and beat each other's time. And I think it was just competing against myself. I know it sounds strange, obviously, now when you play online and stuff, but then I was just competing against myself all the time, just trying to get the quickest time. And yeah, ended up spending a lot of time on it. So that's one of the reasons why I got it tattooed on me.
Oh, nice one. Wait, is that your latest one, or was that?
Yeah, I got a few on the same day. I actually got a PlayStation one as well. I don't know if you can see it. It's like the controller.
So that sort of answers my question, Dad. One of my questions was, you know, are you more of an Xbox or a PlayStation guy? Well, if you've got PlayStation tattooed on you.
Yeah, definitely PlayStation.
So your competitive nature then, because obviously, you know, as a professional sportsman, you're obviously very competitive. That's sort of part of the draw of games, I guess, then.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of the biggest things. Obviously, it's fun at the same time, and playing football and being an athlete, it's a good thing to be able to do and enjoy, but at the same time, you know, not heavy on my legs. So.
Yeah, you're not burning your muscles out too much. I bet you've got a proper gaming setup as well. You've got a decent chair, haven't you?
Yes, to be fair, it's quite good. When I first moved here, I actually set it up for Fortnite. So I had like 4 PlayStations. So when my friends were around, we'd all play together in the same room. But now obviously I've stopped playing Fortnite as much, and my friends don't really play that much on Fortnite. So it's just me and them at the minute.
Yeah. So if you've moved, what have you moved on to then, if you're not digging Fortnite as much?
Call of Duty at the minute. I've always had this thing where I'd spend like 3 months on a game and just sort of hammer that game. And at the minute I'm on Call of Duty, and obviously they just brought the new one out now. So trying to get used to that. I've mixed like NBA, FIFA, obviously Fortnite, and Call of Duty have been my main ones.
What sort of Call of Duty player are you? Are you quite an aggressive player? Because I'm not going to lie to you, Denny, right? And, you know, please don't fall out of me for this. But in Warzone in particular, I'm a little bit of a camper, right? Okay.
That's how I want to be. I want to be, you know, sort of a little bit more chilled, but my friends that I play with are very aggressive. Like, they just want to get as many kills as they can. So I just sort of get sucked into running around with them and sitting at the back trying to nick their kills. But yeah, I wouldn't say I'm an aggressive Call of Duty player by nature, but I'm sort of being forced into it because of the people I'm playing with.
Did your time playing Fortnite, and obviously because the you know, you've shown the world you love Fortnite with your dances after scoring goals and stuff. Is it do you find that those that they help being good at one game helps you being good at the other, because they're both roughly the same?
Yeah, no, I thought
they're not also, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when I first started playing the Warzone, after obviously I spent a lot of time on Fortnite, I found it quite difficult because when people started shooting me, I was trying to build and stuff, and obviously you can't do that on Call of Duty. So my friends had started playing Call of Duty probably a few months maybe before me, because I was so in love with Fortnite. And when I finally moved over, it was like I was a bit behind, so I was just sort of asking them what to do and stuff.
Yeah, I don't feel so bad now, Deli, because my mates also carry me to wins and wars. Or anything else.
I never said they carried me to win. But no, that has been the case so yeah. Far.
Everybody gets their moment, don't they? When it goes well, I'm like, yes, Nate. Oh, and who do you play with? Because mates from home, you're playing with your colleagues, or who do you play with usually?
When I played Fortnite, it was very random. And a lot of people I didn't think would be on the game was on the game. But Call of Duty has been more like Kyle Walker-Peters, Dom Solanke, like more people that I'm probably closer with in terms of actually knowing them and seeing them more often, and would like message before we go on, you know, I actually know them, like they're my friends. And
who's the best footballer, do you think, at games in general? And you know, you're not allowed to see yourself.
Not included.
Or is it yourself, actually? You know, fair enough. If it's you, then you go for it.
Nah, it depends what game. Dom Solanke is very good at Call of Duty. And Kyle Walker-Peters, obviously, being at Tottenham as well, we played a lot of games together. We still do all the time. Obviously, everyone loves gaming. And I think if you play like sports and stuff, it's sort of in your nature to compete against each other. And you can have fun, but still sort of keep that competitive edge at the same time. So I think it's something a lot of people are into. So
yeah. And is that competitive edge, is that what sort of encouraged you to do this hookup with XL? Is that where that came from?
It was more my love for gaming, I think, you know.
Because there must be crossover from, you know, from the professional environments you've been in.
Obviously, it's new to me, sort of stepping into the gaming world at this level. And I'm hoping to, you know, we've got a partnership now, and I'm hoping that it lasts as long as it can. And in that time, I'm hoping to learn as much as I can from them. and also trying to, you know, bring my knowledge and help as much with what I'm good at, and, you know, try and bring that into the game and world and into the XL team. So, yeah, I think it's about learning and moving forward together in the best way possible.
Yeah, for people who maybe don't know much about esports, this isn't about, or is it necessarily you? You're not going to go out there playing esports at the top level, or are you? I don't know, but it's more sort of that sort of the backroom stuff, yeah, the sort of the business side of things, I guess.
Yeah, so obviously, I wish I was good enough to be a part of the competition.
You never know, man. You never know.
Hopefully, one day.
Hey, Dele Alli's being modest, you know. This guy's he's a world-class footballer, and he's saying he's not all that at the game. Bruv, come on, you got to talk the big talk. if you're performing in front of millions of people all the time, then come on, you got to say you're the guy. You got to say you're the guy. You got to get people scared.
He needs to take a leaf out of your war zone, yeah.
Chat.
That's what he needs to do.
Four kills between the two of you, and you're talking about starting an esports team.
It's not about how the number of kills, it's about how we did it. Yeah?
Yes, exactly that. Also, I think we could get... Now Delhi's sort of obviously linked up with XL Esports. Maybe we could get him on the team, I know.
Oh, do you know what? Yeah, Dele Alli on the team. Yeah. That'd be sick. As like... Not a team captain, obviously, because he's...
No, clearly not. Obviously. Shay, maybe you can teach him... I mean, we're going to talk about Super Smash Bros. In a bit, but you can teach him a little bit about, you know, the fighting games as well. You can get him into that.
Okay, I'm into this. Make him a well-rounded gamer. Yeah, 100%. I'm here for coaching.
It's about balance.
I reckon he'd love Street Fighter, you know?
I could see that for him, for sure.
Yeah. And then, Gav, we can, you know, work on his pirate aesthetic with you. That's fine.
Absolutely. Well, like, that's the thing about Sea of Thieves. It gives you a lot of time to chat. So, and I reckon he'd be good at chatting. So I'm looking forward to having some nice, like, fireside chats with him.
Now, Dele showed off his Mario tattoo. So he's got a big Mario tattoo on his arms. And so we've had loads of people messaging us about their gaming tattoos this week as well. Gav, you've got one.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of tattoos, but I actually had to think about it yesterday because I just put so little thought into the tattoos that I have. But I had to think about it yesterday. I was like, oh, it's mad I don't have a gaming tattoo. And my girlfriend was like, yes, you do. What are you talking about? And I was like, oh, yeah. I've got a Dark Souls bonfire on my arm.
Oh.
And that's the thing. We put out a little call on Twitter and Instagram. I had hundreds of messages coming in from people sharing their... This is what made me feel bad, though, because people were sharing their tattoo stories and being like, oh, you know... And it was lots of really personal stuff, like, you know, this really helped... This game helped me through tough times in my life and all this different stuff. And I was like, well, my latest tattoo is the creature from the Black Lagoon with a massive ass, because I thought it was hilarious. I was like, I need to get better tattoo stories, man.
Somebody shared us a Street Fighter character. You like this, Shay. Someone shared a Street Fighter character. We're going to put some of these up on social media, so you can see them, because they're amazing, some of the stuff people have had. The first tweet I got back was from my wife saying, don't get a tattoo. And then after that, there's a Street Fighter character, Dalsim, that someone's got on you, that tweeted you, Gav. It looks like their foot is the character. It's really clever.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. I love it. Like, so that's the thing. I think, like, some of the best ones that we've been sent, there's some just absolutely beautiful pieces of art. But I think the best ones have been sent, it's not just art from, you know, like, art from the game. It's like some thought has gone into it and some work has gone into it, you know? But yeah, there's some good stuff out there, man.
Someone shared me this... this Insta page called Video Game Tats. Have you seen it?
No.
There's loads in there. Some really clever ones. I reckon I'd say about 90% of them are Pokemon or Nintendo characters.
Yeah, I got a lot of Pokemon stuff. So awesome is, my girlfriend's a tattoo artist. That's how we met. She was tattooing me at a Star Wars convention because I am just that cool.
Hold on. Yeah, I need to hear any story. What was the chat up line?
Hello.
What was the chat up line for that one?
Yeah. Obviously, I seduced her because.
Yeah, Gavin was using her force powers on her. You will go out with me.
I might be a nerd, but you know, I've got moves. What can I say?
Yeah, get going. I haven't got one. I'm too much of a wimp because I'm too indecisive. I think I like something 1 minute, and I'd hate it the next. Have you got one? I know.
No, I'm similar to you, Steph. I feel like something I probably would have got when I was like 18, I'd probably regret right now. But like looking through like the thread that everyone was posting on Gav's Twitter and tattoos people were sending me as well, it's great to see how many people have so much gaming memories and the impact games have had on people to the point in which they want to kind of plaster kind of different franchises or different moments from games onto themselves. It really kind of reveals the impact that games kind of can have on people.
Yeah, I've always thought, you know, I'd be up for a tattoo, but what do you think would suit me? Mm. You know, we've got two experts here. What tat do you think I could? What could I pull off, Shane?
Well, what game do you? What's your like game that you would get tattooed?
Well, The Witcher's probably the top of the list.
Mm.
Okay, I can see that for you. Maybe the wolf medallion. Is that wolf? That
yeah.
He wears on his, maybe that could be really cool. Yeah.
He does like little like magic symbols. Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Like you could get little ones of those.
Yeah. I mean, this aesthetic.
Yeah, just on your face. There.
Like a teardrop, but instead like a nerdy symbol. Yeah, do it. I think that will suit you. That would be really good.
I think, Steph, what you should do is go really, because as your first one, don't get anything small. Just go full back piece straight away. Like, just go straight in, full back piece, like huge scene going on, like your favorite boss fight from The Witcher. Boom, done. Like, deep end.
Aynel, you'd have to get a Mario Kart character.
I would get a Mario Kart character. He's got to be a black Mario Kart character, and they ain't had one yet. So I probably wouldn't. I'll wait until Nintendo add one in, and then I'm like, yeah, that's my guy.
I saw a few people have had the, because obviously, like, Last of Us, massive game, but a few people have had the Ellie tattoo that she's got.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, that's a cool one.
The fern thing, because I guess, like, that's a really good example of, like, an actual tattoo in a game, you know, that people would get. So I've seen a few people tweeted us with a picture of that. Like, that's quite cool, kind of, like, recreating a tattoo from a video game rather than getting, like, I saw someone as well, which I thought was really good. I just got, like, one of the artifacts from Uncharted. So it just looks like an ancient piece of art, you know, but it's actually like a dagger or something.
I'm jealous, man. I want to get involved, but I'm not that passionate about like one thing that I want it on myself, if that makes sense.
I've had a thought though. You know, you were talking there sort of about something a bit more intimate that you wanted to have. You could have your old gamer tag in an intimate place.
Oh, I see where you're going with this. Yeah.
The sexy G, you could have that.
Lower midriff or so. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. In a thigh, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I'm saying. So, hey, look, it's so many good tattoos that people have been sharing with us and ideas for tattoos. Somebody, Ryan, messaged as well saying that he wants to get the Hollow Knight tattooed on him. So it's a great idea. So that's a good one, isn't it? So, Ryan, we think you should do that. So go and do that, Ryan, and do it for me because I probably haven't got the guts to go and get one made. We've got Deli coming back on the pod with his Hall of Game choice as well. And by the way, he loves the name. And he's coming back on the pod to talk about that later on. Now, like I've mentioned, we've been covering loads of new releases recently. So we're focusing on a couple of classics today, starting with this one from 2018. It's a Nintendo Switch exclusive. Colors weave into a spire of flame. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Cost you about £50 plus. Still full price, Shay, despite the fact it's been out since 2018. I was like, I thought, good little game for me to get over the summer. But you get into Super Smash Bros, you know, it must be about £30 now. I don't mind doing that. No, full whack. Is it worth it?
Oh, I have to say that it is. Like, I mean, talk about bang for your buck. There are 77 characters in this game as of November 2020. That is so many. That's like the most of any fighting game.
You've not played all 77. No chance.
No, I was going to lie and like, you know, try and look more impressive than I am. But no, I have not. There are so many. 77 is a lot of characters. And like, some of them are really random. Like Steve from Minecraft is there for some reason. I don't know. Could not tell you.
It feels like they just chuck anything in there, which for me is not a barrier of quality. They'll just be like, stick him in. Don't matter.
I like it, though. I feel like it's like a gaming museum where any character could just be in there. Like, you don't know. Like, when you see Minecraft Steve, you're like, okay, what's happening next? Is it going to be like Dark Souls or something like that? You never know.
I feel like they might be gearing up to that. When they announced Dark Souls on the Switch, I was like, well, it's only a matter of time now. It honestly feels like they've taken like my lucid dreams and then, you know, just made a game out of it. Because, yeah, you've got Cloud from Final Fantasy VII, one of the most iconic like gaming characters ever, like pummeling the life out of Ryu and Ken from Street Fighter. And,
that is funny.
That's that's pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, it's really, really cool.
I do like when they introduce a new character, because I don't play it, but I had to cover it before in an old job. But like, and every time they were released, like, new information and stuff, it was a lot to take in as someone who doesn't play it. But I do like seeing what the attacks that they go for are. So if, like, when they had, like, Solid Snake and they'd be like, okay, well, what has he got? What's his specials and stuff like that? I think that kind of stuff is really, really funny.
Yeah, yeah. Like, seeing the callbacks to Metal Gear Solid 2 was, like, really, really cool, for example. So, yeah, more of that, man.
Strip it right back to basics, Jay. For people who have never played Super Smash Bros. Before, it's, you've said it's already a fighting game, but it's a fighting game with a bit of a twist, isn't it?
It is. So, yeah, so if you think of, like, you know, taking all the Nintendo All-Stars, prior to this point anyway, because there are so many different characters, there is the twist of, like, the recovery mechanics. So, like, when you're on a stage, like, it could start moving, there will be, like, different sequences, there'll be stuff flying at you, like, you'll have a dinosaur come and, like, try and bite you or something. It's that wild. It sounds like I'm, like, you know, pulling this out of nowhere, but that's genuinely the game. And, you know, you have to, like, dodge and fight with all of this stuff, and then when someone knocks you off the stage, you need to try and find your way back. And I think that's what throws a lot of people off. It's not just you guys kind of going at it on the stage. Like, there is that added element.
Yeah, how many is it eight characters are fighting at all at the same time?
You
was
can,
it four?
Up to eight, which just up gets absolutely manic, but good for settling flatmate disputes. You know, if your flatmate's left a bunch of dishes in the sink, like, just have it out there and then, best two out of three, and there you go, shut that idiot up. No, I'm kidding, I love my flatmates very dearly.
Is it, my problem with Super Smash Bros., I think it looks really fun. You look at it on the screen, it's bright colours, lots of jumping around, lots of stuff going on, seems a bit kooky. It seems like a sort of fun game to pick up and play. Every time I've picked it up to play with people who know how to play Smash Bros., there's no point. I mean, they try, oh, I'll go easy on you. Well, if that's going easy on me, then...
I think that's the really hard thing about it, is like, because I've tried playing it a couple of times again with people who know how to play it, and it's one of those, and like, I'm decent at fighting games, like, I'm all right at Mortal Kombat, I'm fine at Street Fighter, but it's not a fighting game, it's his own thing, because you're like, if you are into fighting games, you're like, well, you know, I know, like, back for 2 seconds, forward and punch might do something for me, but with Smash Bros it's something completely different. It's so clever, but also at the same time, the barrier for entry into it is bonkers, I think.
I think it's quite easy to pick up, but it's hard to master. It's deceptive in the way it looks like it's a kid's game, because there's lots of colourful characters. But in terms of, like, the nuances and knowing about the different frame data of each of characters, well, or cancelling out of different moves, like, there's like a super high end version of play, but there's also it's really simple to pick up because there's, like, only a couple of buttons.
I think that's the thing. It's like, if you approach it as a normal fighting game, you're gonna get your ass kicked, but if you approach it as its own game, then I guess you do a little bit better.
Is it a closed community, Shay? Because you're obviously big into your fighting games, you know, you obviously enjoy Super Smash Bros. Is it a community that sort of new people can come and try out, you know, or did you have to be playing this when it launched in 2018, or probably even before that in one of the more original games?
No, I think more than ever, and like, compared to other fighting games, the community is much more open, and you'll find that, like, there are so many Discords where people are willing to kind of teach you, like, you know, it's a baptism by fire, but like, people are willing to do that baptism, you know what I mean?
Like, who's your character then? Who would you like?
So if you remember, like, Samus from the Metroid series, they've taken her armor off and made her, like, really cool and, like, feminine. Zero Suit Samus is the one I go for. She just looks really cool, like, doing all her attacks. Yeah. She, like, flips and kicks. It's awesome.
That's a good character. That's a good character. Like, you know who I am? I'm Ganondorf.
Oh,
Ganondorf. Big sword.
Is so good in this
Everyone
game.
Shook of him. One hit with the sword. Yeah, don't get Ganondorf. You don't want to get close.
See, this is what it catches me out, right? It's like, out of context. Like, Solid Snake fighting Mario, or, like you said, Minecraft Steve, or Ganon, all these people who you associate with a certain game and a certain time and place, putting them out somewhere else, I just get a bit weirded out by it, I think.
But I think that's what's really charming, is seeing, like, Luigi, like, go head-to-head with, like, Pikachu and, like, Charmander and, like, Charizard. It's ridiculous, but for some reason, it just feels really right and makes a lot of sense.
It shouldn't work on paper, but it does.
It really does.
on paper, it looks like a fanboy's dream or a fangirl's dream, where it's just literally, right, I get every single game character from every franchise and put them into one and they fight each other. But that's essentially the game. And it's
good. It's so good.
It's basically like a big pub chat, but in video game form. It's like, who would win in a fight between, but they've just actually made it a video game.
Exactly. Who doesn't want that, you know?
Okay, right. So what are we saying that the Metacritic score is for Super Smash Bros? I mean, it's been on since 2018 and it's still 50 quid plus, even more in some places.
Yeah.
So that's probably a bit of an indicator, isn't it? Where do we, Gav, what do you think? What's it got at 100?
90s. It's got to be like 95, 96, something like that. Like the people who love it absolutely love it.
Okay, pick a number. You've got two. You've given me two numbers there.
96.
Einel.
Oh, 95 for me. Yeah, it's a very big game, and I think a lot of people adore it because it's got a lot of fan service for people for multiple different franchises. If you're not into Mario, there's fan service there for you. If you're into Final Fantasy, if you're not into Final Fantasy, there's fan service there for like the Donkey Kong series and things like that. So yeah, 95.
Shay, what are you saying? We've got a 96 and a 95, so fairly high scores so far.
Even though it's my game, I'm going to say 87, just because the recovery mechanic puts a lot of people off, genuinely. So I think, I don't think it's going to be that high.
And the recovery mechanic is basically when you get kicked off one of those platforms, you can get yourself back on, right?
Yeah, that's and it's the same button for every character, up and B. But yeah, it's just how you implement it. It's all about the metagame, I sound like. An absolute nerd. Someone's going to stuff me in a locker if they see me out on the streets.
I feel like Shay's going to do a documentary on the Smash Brothers series. Yeah.
Well, none of you are right, but you're all pretty close. It's got a 93 overall, so pretty high. Yeah. Very, very high. Lots of people loving Super Smash Bros. And, you know, maybe Shay's put your mind at ease. Maybe it is something you can enter at a later date if you haven't played it already. Maybe it is not as...
It's not
as harsh as I think it
is. No, it's fine. It's cute, cuddly, pummeling fun. Who doesn't want that?
Well, let us know what you think of Super Smash Bros. Is it cute, cuddly, pummeling fun? That should be on the box, to be fair.
It should be. Come on, Nintendo.
Hashtag press X to continue on all your socials. Get involved. Thanks to everybody who's been getting in touch so far. Now, Brad on Twitter's got a bit of beef with me and you, Gav.
What?
He's messaged to say that in our PlayStation 5 podcast, we said that... God of War is probably the best game ever made, or our favourite game, God of War 4. Yeah.
How can he have beef with that?
He's got issues. He said, you're talking nonsense. He says it should be Super Mario World, and he's not having anybody say anything different.
He's out of his mind. He's outside of his mind if he thinks that God, like Super Mario, it's a great game. Super Mario World, I think, is probably the second best Mario game, don't get me wrong. But is it as good as God of War? It is not.
It's not as good as God of War, Brad. But you're entitled to opinion, and thank you very much for tweeting us. Hashtag press X to continue. Also, a big shout to Aid, who's been inspired to set up his own gaming website after listening to the pod. So that's cool, isn't it?
That's all we need, another shark in the tank. taking away like listeners from us. We should send him a cease and desist, if anything.
Cease and desist! Couple guys are going to be knocking on the door.
What's it called? Press A to continue. Shut it down.
So, I mean, just had a thought. Is it a good idea for us to be threatening our listeners?
You just got to let them know where they stand early on. That's what it is.
He'll love that.
Gav says, Gav don't know him. Gav could be shook in his house.
He's going to love it.
Hey, we're coming for you, okay? Right? Don't let us know where your house is. We'll find you. We'll send Gav and the boys over and his pirate mates.
Yeah.
Hashtag press X to continue. Get in touch with us. Now, Gav. Pirate Gav. Sea of Thieves. Talk to me. Firstly, it's an Xbox game. You can also play it on your PC, on Windows and Steam. It's about 30 quid. There are a couple of deals on at the moment, though. It means you can get it a bit cheaper. And, of course, it's available on Game Pass.
It is.
The subscription service for Xbox. People who've missed Sea of Thieves, what is it?
It is an online game where you band together. It's better than if you band together with a bunch of friends and you basically go out plundering and looking for pirate booty on different islands and things like that. But there's a lot of people playing this and they can decide if they want to come and get your pirate booty away from you. So it's like... it's for me one of the most relaxing games I've ever played that can switch on a dime and turn into the biggest stress that you've ever had. I came to this really late because I don't know why. It just, a bunch of mates back home all play on PC. I don't have a PC, but because you can kind of do cross play, it is like a perfect game. So like we've a couple of like mates who I play games back home, we're just having a few beers and catching up and basically using it as like a more interactive Zoom call that doesn't involve quizzes, which I'm into.
Good use of the word booty, by the way. I enjoyed that. That's good. You know, some pirate treasure to go and find. Go and do what you want. That's basically the premise, yeah.
There ain't much to it, man. Like, game-wise, that's the thing. Like, a couple of them are into it. A couple of them are really not into it. The people who, like, they play a lot of, first-person shooter games. A couple of those people aren't quite into it as much. But I like it because it's quite relaxing. And you can be crap at games and be good at Sea of Thieves, which I think is quite good.
Similar to H, actually. I like my multiplayer experiences to be as solitary and as singular as possible. I don't need anybody else in my ears. Yeah. I just want it to be me and the seven seas. But like what you were saying, Gav, about is switching up so quickly. I was like having a good time like fishing out the back of my boat. And then the next thing I know, there was like this massive shark coming after me. There was a volcano, it was exploding. The sea was on fire. Like it was chaos very quickly. And I was
it
like,
kicks off quickly
here?
When it kicks off as well. But there's lots of like weird little secrets in it. So I played as well with a mate of mine, and he's been playing it for about 3 or 4 years. So he's got the run of Sea of Thieves, and there's like secrets. He took me to a secret bar, like to get me drunk. There's a secret bar that only like legendary pirates can get to. There's all sorts of secret stuff in that game. I love it. I love secrets in games like that. It's really weird because you can play it on one level and have no idea all this other weird stuff is going on. I love it.
Yeah, it's a first-person experience. I suppose some of the issues that some people, and you've sort of mentioned it there, your mates who are big first-person shooter players or whatever, is that it's a little bit clumsy or clunky to play a little bit. It's not quite as smooth as what you'd expect in a first-person experience.
Well, I guess like because you're not really doing that much in it, so it's quite simple. But because it's so simple, I don't personally think it is, but some people do think it feels a little bit clunky because you're not really doing anything in it. You're just kind of like shooting, and like the combat is purposely simple, I think, so it can go wrong really quickly. And you land on an island, you fight a bunch of skeletons, you're like, oh, these little skeleton scrubs. So quickly it goes wrong and you get overwhelmed and you're like, oh my God, how did this happen? There's like two buttons to this. I got a gun. The way that they control what you can actually do is quite clever, I think.
I've got a love and hate relationship with Sea of Thieves. Like, I love Rare as a developer, but this, like as Gav said, this game can change. I've played with a bunch of people, right? We call our ship the HMRC because we tax all the other pirates on the seas. That's how we do it. And then what we do, right? And a game of Sea of Thieves take, like, you're not playing for like 10, 20 minutes. You're playing for hours when you play a game of Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, you're not jumping in.
Yeah, but the issue is, right, you don't collect your booty, all the treasure that you gather up. It's not yours until you bring it to an outpost and then you hand it in. So after 4 hours, our ship is full.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we're on our way back to cash it in. We've been playing for 4 hours. We get jumped by two ships.
Yeah.
Flankers from the left and the right. The stress levels go through the roof. Because you know, if you die and the ship sinks, that's 4 hours of gameplay wasted.
Yeah.
No experience points. No money gathered. No gold. Yeah. No treasure. It's all gone.
Oh, that sounds like stress.
Stress. That's the thing.
That's the, you know, sort of duality of man. Isn't it? Like, do you go, you know, are you happy with what you've got and you take that home? Or do you decide to plunder some more and go, ooh, actually, we could just head to that place, get some more treasure. And then you're kind of betting with yourself whether or not you're going to get taken over. And obviously,
he wants more.
You know, I'm happy plundering a little bit and getting a little bit, you know.
Wow. Oh, I can't do it like that. I play for the big, big ones.
Go hard or go home. I love it.
Go hard or go home. But I will say, like, I played this game when it was in the early beta stages, like years ago. And seeing how they've kind of supported this game over the last 3, 4, 5 years is amazing. Yeah. Because What the game kind of released as and what it is now is completely different. There's like a whole bunch of different modes in there. You can have pets and things. You can have like monkeys and dogs and cats and things. And it's great because they can come along with you on the adventures. And one cool thing they've also added is, well, I guess it's like an Xbox thing, is you can play this on your phone. So like there's one time I've played this on my phone with Game Pass Ultimate. If you have Game Pass Ultimate and an Android phone, you can play Sea of Thieves on the phone. And join your friends with the voice chat and everything, and you can play wherever you are. It's mad.
I can remember when the game first came out, a couple of things, is that for about 3 or 4 years, every time you went to a games convention where they were talking about the new games coming out, there'd be a bunch of people dressed up as pirates singing sea shanties.
Yep.
And they were at every single game event for about three or 4 years. I even knew them by name. By the way, right, Dave, how's it going, fella? Yeah, nice to see you.
Pirate Dave.
Yeah, Pirate Dave. What work have you got after Sea of Thieves comes out? Because you're not going to be coming to these conventions anymore, are you? So, like, the sea shanty thing is, I get it now.
Yeah.
But the game, I can remember the developer saying to me at the time, that, look, we want to create a different sort of online multiplayer experience. So it's not super aggressive, sort of, you know, the sort of the type of stuff you see when you're playing. Well, we talked about Call of Duty last week, for example, right? And I think at the time you're like, yeah, okay, whatever, but we'll see what happens. But I do think that they have created that, isn't it? It is a very, it's a very welcoming experience. It's very friendly. It's, I can remember playing just on my own once, and my ship was in a bit of trouble, and instead of stealing all my booty, these lads escorted me to the nearest outpost.
That happens all the time,
which was actually quite generous of. So that stuff is really cool. And I think what's brilliant about Rare as a developer is there's quite British humour in there, isn't there? You know what I mean? It's very clever.
It's really silly,
Yeah, it's quite silly, a bit silly, a bit naff.
Yeah.
What do you think the overall Metacritic score is? Because interesting is that this would have been reviewed a few years ago. It's been out for a while. And like Einel said, the game has changed a lot in that period, isn't it? But what do you think, Shay, let's start with you. What do you think the critics said about this one?
Oof, I'm going to go again about 87. I think because it has changed so much over the years, I think there are a lot of people that aren't like fully on board with it and like would have only experienced it at the very beginning. And that might have like colored their opinion of it, like even though they haven't gone back to it since. So I'm going to say 87, even though I do think it deserves higher. I'll say that much.
Yeah. Okay. 87 from Shay. What are you saying, Einel?
Oh, it's a tough one, you know. It's a tough one because I do remember when it first released. I did remember hearing critics weren't too kind to it because there were a lot of the features that are implemented in the game now weren't there at launch. But one of the plus things was it released on Game Pass. I think it was one of the first games on Game Pass to come out where if you had a Game Pass subscription, day one, you could have this game. And so for that, I think it might be higher. 82.
82. And then Gav. I'm going to go, Gav.
This isn't my opinion of it, but I reckon it'll be on an 80 because I think the people who love it, but I think there are people out there who don't get it, who don't click with it, and I think maybe those are the people who maybe are giving a bit of a kick in. But I think it's fantastic. I think 80.
80 for Gav. Just before I give you the answer, what did you didn't tell us what your pirate name was?
I have no idea. Like, I should have a pirate name because, as I said, I look like a cartoon pirate that someone has scribbled.
Well, tell you what, if anybody's got any suggestions for Gav's pirate name, hashtag press to continue. Einel's pirate name.
Bruv, Sexy P, innit?
Sexy P.
We already got that.
You had that too quickly.
Yeah. You've been thinking about that.
I've been playing the game for a while. Come on.
HMRC and the Sexy P. There we are. What a ship that is. So the actual Metacritic score is pretty low. It's only 69.
Oh wow!
On Metacritic, which I think is probably of a couple of reasons. One, when it came out early, I think it was quite sparse. There wasn't a load to do at the time. It's changed a lot in that time, and also I think that the way it plays isn't. Like, I think if you compare it with first-person shooters, it's chalk and cheese, even though it looks the same. So, but maybe that's why, I don't know. But overall, 69 on Metacritic, but see what you think. Give it a go. You know, the guys here really love it. And let us know what you think as well. It's hashtag press X to continue across all socials. And any good pirate names you've got as well for us, then let us know. I don't think we're going to top Sexy P, but you never know. Right, let's get back to our special guest then. Dele Alli is on to talk about his Hall of Game. Shay? Don't give me those eyes. I mean, the people listening can't see, but I can see you looking at me like that.
Hopefully they can feel it from here as well. God.
Anyway, so let's get back to Dele Alli. This is his choice for the Hall of Game.
I think I have to say Fortnite just because of how long I spent on the game. I've never put as much time and effort into a game, so I'll have to say Fortnite.
Even though that, you know, maybe you're not playing as much Fortnite at the moment, it's still got a special place for you.
Oh, no, yeah, definitely. You know, I still go on it every now and then now. Like I said, I go through like stages of playing a game. Usually it's about 2 months that I'll spend on a game, or maybe a little bit longer, but Fortnite was definitely a lot longer. So,
what was it about Fortnite that drew you in, that made you love it so much?
It was the first time I started playing like that sort of battle royale. It was like instantly I fell in love with it. It was strange because I'd seen it like online and stuff being posted for like probably a few weeks or whatever. It was actually Kyle. We both joined at the same time. But I messaged him and I was like, oh, I'll download Fortnite, let's play. But like, we didn't obviously know what we was doing at the start, and we were both really bad. From when I first started playing, I just fell in love with it, and you know, I was addicted to it straight away. So, you know, it's a very fun game with all the different things you can do on there. It was actually at the World Cup when we went before with England. It was actually quite a big thing. It was quite a big part of it, I feel. And, you know, after the training and stuff, we'd spend not a lot of time, but we'd all go on at the same time, obviously being in Russia together. And, you know, we'd all play PlayStation together. So I think we'd have a group chat and all message each other, like, what time was going to be on. And I think it is good, obviously, for morale and, like, bringing people together. And maybe someone you don't speak to as much in team is sort of something that you can connect on a level if you both enjoy games.
So Dele Alli picks Fortnite. I mean, it makes sense, to be fair. He's famous for doing those Fortnite dances after he scores INL, so it was only one choice, really.
Yeah. Do you know what? I do like Fortnite. I just can't keep up with it, if that makes sense. As an online game that has like events happening pretty much every month, new things to see, and new season passes and battle passes and things, and like hidden things within the levels, tie-ins with different franchises, I can't keep up. But what I have played of it, I do enjoy it.
Yeah, I think it unfairly gets a bit of a pasting because it's so popular. And I think the way that I don't play it, but I keep up with the stuff that they do in the world, because I just think it's so impressive that they could not do all that stuff and still make all the same amount of money, I think. And they're putting so much into it all the time. Yeah, with the idea to make more money. But I think like the world building they've done is bonkers.
It's insane. And also just like it became this like phenomenon, like out of nowhere. Like the Battle Royale part was this like add-on to a main game that like nobody really knows about. Like it has really become its own beast. So yeah, total.
Does anyone still play that? The original game, the original Fortnite.
I don't think so. Well, if they do, there's probably a hardy band of like a few of them, you know, they're still there. This is a tower defense game and it's only so supposed to be like that. Not having any of this new stuff.
I love that impression.
That was so good.
I think as far as cultural crossovers go, I mean, Fortnite's got to be, whether you like the building mechanics or, you know, whatever, I think Fortnite's had such an impact cross-culturally, making huge gaming known. I mean, Premier League footballers like Dele,
yeah,
doing the dances from the game after scoring a goal, or in the NFL, Pittsburgh wide receiver called Juju Smith-Schuster, say that after a few drinks, loves Fortnite, and he plays it all the time. The cultural crossover is massive, and the references. He walked in the street and shops are selling Fortnite clothes. All that sort of big impact has had. Whether or not you like it or not as a game, I think that makes perfect sense to be recognised in that way.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being with us till the end, you XC Beasts. We'll see you on Tuesday for the next episode of Press X to continue. Bye-bye.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.